says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijonle go shabothya, nijonle go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. music from the drum Blackstone off their Kenyan record Round Dance, singing with the Logan Alexis Singers. The name of that song was Young Runner. In many Native societies, young people are greatly appreciated and respected. In the old days, elders entrusted Native youth with many responsibilities. One important responsibility was being a runner that carried messages to different tribal villages, which informed the people on important news and information. Today's program, entitled Climate Change and Energy Justice, a conversation with three youth activists, is in keeping with this honored role as young runners. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Yat Kedishi Native Center, like many indigenous peoples throughout the world, have long been speaking out about the many serious problems impacting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Humanity is living during a critical time in our planet's history. This is why our Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices programs focus on many important global issues that need serious attention. Today's broadcast highlights the critical issues of global climate change and energy justice. Today's program shares a conversation with three fine young women who are working for a better world. My program guests are Mandy Hancock, Angela Cisneros, and Amanda Adams. The dedication these three persons have exemplify youth activism. It is young people like these that give me hope for the future and energizes me to continue my activism. Yat Kedishi Native Center has been very concerned about global climate change and energy justice for many years. Yat Kedishi Native Center networks with many campaigns, organizations, and projects that are involved in climate energy issues. The interconnections of cultural, social, economic, and environmental justice as it relates to climate and energy issues is a major focus of Yat Kedishi Native Center's work. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Indigenous peoples have tried for many years to warn the international community about many serious ecological issues, especially global climate change and abusive energy development. Exploitation of energy resources have greatly impacted Native peoples throughout the globe. The history of colonization and now globalization has been fueled from the greed of energy development. Indigenous peoples have made numerous declarations about climate change at various international forums, such as at the United Nations and to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. A Native woman, Sheila Watt Cloutier, former chairperson of the Inuit Circumpolar Council, an international organization of indigenous peoples of the Arctic, shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with former U.S. Vice President Al Gore for their work on global climate issues. In 1998, as a journalist, I attended a national climate conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, hosted by NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. This NASA summit was special and historic in that many Native peoples were invited to present testimony. The Albuquerque Declaration and Native Peoples, Native Homelands Climate Change Report, entitled Circle of Wisdom, is an important reference. There have been many other international declarations by Indigenous peoples on climate, such as Carioca at the UN Conference on Environment and Development, in Quito, Ecuador, in Lyon, France, at The Hague, Netherlands, in Milan, Italy, in Kyoto, Japan, in Bonn, Germany, in Nakuru, Kenya, Africa, at the Indigenous Nationalities of the Amazon Summit and the April 2009 Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change held in Anchorage, Alaska are important examples. Unfortunately, the wisdoms and knowledge of Indigenous peoples about climate change is a voice that is still not respected enough by governments, industry, and the world citizenry that seems to ignore anthropogenic global climate impacts. A priority of Yad Kiddush Yenidu Center's involvement in the climate and energy justice movement is encouraging student and youth activism. We do so locally at Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor. As an ecologist and community activist, I also participate in various student and youth organized conferences, projects, and protests on climate, energy, environment, and sustainability issues. I am proud to say that Yad Kiddush Yenidu Center has and continues to encourage and mentor young people to become involved in these serious issues. Today's Three Wolf Mountain Radio program guests, Mandy Hancock, Angela Cisneros, and Amanda Adams, recently visited Yad Kiddush Yenidu Center to talk about the 2009 Florida Power Shift Climate and Energy Conference we are all going to attend. Power Shift is a national campaign of more than 303,000 young people calling for bold, serious action on climate and energy. Power Shift is a project of the Energy Action Coalition. EAC was founded in June 2004 to unite a diversity of organizations in an alliance that supports and strengthens the student and youth clean, just, and renewable energy movement. Power Shift is known for mobilizing thousands of students and youth to rally in Washington, D.C. to pressure the White House and Congress for a strong and comprehensive climate and energy plan. Power Shift's goal is for U.S. energy policy that creates a renewable energy economy with millions of new green jobs, ends dependence on dirty polluting energy, brings America security, protects the environment, and reduces harmful global climate change pollution. The work of the Energy Action Coalition is so timely in view of the upcoming Global Climate Treaty Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. Yad Kiddush Yenidu Center urges our listeners to become active in climate and energy issues. Consider joining Power Shift. Sign their petition against dirty tricks by the fossil fuel energy companies and their lobbyists. Urge President Obama and members of Congress to create safe, clean, renewable energy and climate policy. Participate in regional conferences, statewide symposiums, and local events in support of energy, environment, and climate justice actions. There are many fine organizations like EAC that will welcome your involvement. Remember, think globally and act locally. In 2006, I participated in a Florida statewide meeting of college students guided by EAC's Campus Climate Challenge to encourage universities to invest in renewable energy. Florida Gulf Coast University has signed the American College and University President's Climate Commitment. FGCU is also constructing a 2-megawatt solar energy project on campus, which will reduce FGCU's use of polluting fossil fuel energy. I generally support this alternative energy project. However, the 16-acre solar field has generated much controversy that you will hear about in my conversation with my three program guests. Institutions of higher education must show leadership on energy and climate issues. Greening of college campuses by reducing, reusing, and recycling should become a priority. it should be standard practice for colleges to conserve more energy and utilize safe, clean, and renewable energy technologies. Reducing a school's ecological footprint will save money. It also will be an example to society of how communities can create a healthier and sustainable future. An example of this is the USGBC LEED Certified Energy and Environment Design Buildings. A good example is Florida Gulf Coast University's Demonstration and Learning Center Green Building Project that is nearing construction. Green Building incorporates a number of important key concepts in design, construction, and maintenance. These include energy efficiency, passive design, recycled and renewable building materials, water usage, waste management, healthy indoor environment, and landscaping that protects and restores the site by planting native vegetation, which can be habitat for wildlife. The green building will showcase sustainable building standards and practices. Importantly, it will serve as a training center for engineering students and the construction industry. Universities, as centers of education and research, must also promote energy and environmental sustainability by their academic mission. Curriculums must include critical energy and climate issues. Courses must be interdisciplinary so that students learn about the serious global problems we are now faced with. Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, where I serve as a member of the center's Board of Advisors, pedagogy is focused on ecological literacy and planetary citizenship for a sustainable and peaceful future through scholarship, education, and action. Florida Gulf Coast University's 9 student goals and outcomes exemplify the type of education needed for the 21st century. Mandy, Angela, and Amanda, after eating some cornbread I baked, agreed to share their views on climate, energy, environment, and sustainability issues on Wolf Mountain Radio. I now present a brief background on each guest. Mandy Hancock is a Florida campus organizer for the Southern Energy Network's Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. A group of us activists in Florida have worked with Mandy in establishing the Florida Safe and Sustainable Energy Campaign to fight nuclear power issues in Florida. She is a smart and sincere person. Angela Cisneros is a student at Florida Gulf Coast University and a Southwest Florida community activist. Angela is president of FGCU's campus group, the Progressive Student Alliance. She also is a board member of EPEC, the Environment and Peace Education Center, a local grassroots group. Angela and I have worked together on important socioeconomic environmental justice issues, such as farm worker justice. I am proud to be her friend. Amanda Adams is a student at Florida Gulf Coast University. As an environmental studies major, Amanda is active in environmental and sustainability issues on campus. Interested in agriculture and food issues, she is coordinating a backyard farmers project. As I welcome Mandy, Angela, and Amanda to Wolf Mountain Radio, I wish to read a statement from the Earth Charter, which I think exemplifies a philosophy my 3 guests and I believe in. Quote, in the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace, unquote. Ladies, thank you for visiting Yad Kiddushin Native Center. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hello, my name is Mandy Hancock with Southern Energy Network. I'm the Florida organizer working primarily on nuclear justice issues.
Hi, my name is Amanda Adams. I live in Naples, Florida, and I attend Florida Gulf Coast University. I'm part of the Student Government Environmental Initiatives Committee and also the president of an organization called the Backyard Farmers, trying to start gardens on campus to help with our climate change problem.
Hello, my name is Angela Cisneros. I'm from Naples, Florida, senior at Florida Gulf Coast University, co-director of the Progressive Student Alliance.
In today's program introduction, I mentioned how Yad Kiddushi Native Center, along with many indigenous peoples throughout the world, have been trying for many years to warn people about many critical ecological issues, especially climate change, that is threatening the well-being and survival of all life. It is good to see more and more young people, such as yourselves, becoming more aware of and active in climate change and energy justice issues. The upcoming Power Shift Florida Conference will energize more young people to get involved. Mandy, this is why I appreciate your work helping to organize this gathering. Mandy, as the Florida organizer for Southern Energy Network, you have been encouraging college students to get involved in the National Climate Action Movement. This is why you were at Florida Gulf Coast University earlier today. Would you please talk about your work?
Sure. I've been doing this work for about 3 years now, and when I first started, we were a very small group of people, mostly white folks, sitting in a room talking about how we were going to get young people mobilized on climate issues. And within 3 years, we really built up a movement, and I say we in the broadest sense of the term. There were people all over North America working on this stuff, and now it is definitely an international issue that young people all over the globe are stepping up to. And our basic idea was that if we can inject the energy of the youth into changing how we use and produce our energy, then we can get a lot closer to cleaning up our environment. For me, the issue is very much our generation's issue, primarily because it is our future that we're talking about. The way that we use and produce and consume our energy and the material goods and quote-unquote resources that we consume, the way that it pollutes our basic necessities of life, such as our land, our air, and our water, the way that our food is produced and all of those things that are compromised, is going to greatly impact the way that we are able to reproduce and build into the future with our future generations. So it is up to us to secure the future for future generations, and we're looking for a power shift, and that is the primary campaign that we've been supporting and gathering young people around to support legislation to address the climate change issue.
Amanda and Angela, why are you concerned about our planet's energy and environment future?
One of the main reasons why I'm concerned with climate change is because I've seen how it can affect people that are in third world countries especially. We've been learning a lot about that at FGCU. And what I'm trying to do with my organization, the Backyard Farmers, is really build community and try to teach people how to grow their own food and live a more sustainable life. I'm especially interested in individuals being empowered to work for the environment. I'm not so keen on the government. I don't think that the government's going to be able to solve all our problems. And so I really am trying to focus on building community and teaching people how they can take care of themselves.
I think I would just be echoing some of the key points that Amanda brought up. I'm very interested in educating the students at FGCU as well as the neighboring community about some issues in our community that they may not be aware of. There are a lot of people who come to live to Southwest Florida from various places and don't always know about the history of our environment, and in that way there's like a disconnect.
My next question to you, Angela and Amanda, concerns Florida Gulf Coast University's solar energy project. Solar technology for generating electricity is something all of us who are concerned about climate and energy issues advocate. Many of us working to encourage more use of solar energy in place of environmentally destructive oil, gas, coal, tar sands, and nuclear power, all of which are detrimental to human health, appreciate it when universities utilize solar energy. When Florida Gulf Coast University announced its solar energy project, many of us were very excited. It is ironic that this particular project has been very controversial, especially since FGCU is well known for its environmental focus. In addition to signing the American College and University's President's Climate Commitment, FGCU has formally endorsed the Earth Charter. One of the university's very important student learning goals is ecological literacy. Florida Gulf Coast University offers many courses in environmental studies and environmental science. As a curriculum advisor, I helped create and taught sections of the required colloquium course and the Collegium of Integrated Learning course. These and other classes incorporate environmental, ethical, and social issues. Interdisciplinary environmental science research is continuing to advance at FGCU. Florida Gulf Coast University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, where I am a member of the center's Board of Advisors, works hard to raise awareness about many planetary issues. The Rachel Carson Distinguished Lecture Series and the Terry Tempest Williams Student Dialogue Symposiums are important examples. With all this said, this does not mean that Florida Gulf Coast University has always lived up to its environmental vision. Many people in Southwest Florida were very upset about FGCU's location and biological impact from the very beginning. The university's public image as a green school is partly a result of a very good public relations department. This solar energy project is one such example. Angela and Amanda, would you please comment about FGCU's solar energy project?
Sure. Well, from the beginning, it appeared as if the process was very democratic and inclusive, but in fact, it was not. The meetings were held during the summer when there weren't very many classes going on at FGCU. We students that were involved in talking to the administrators, letting them know about our concerns, we are for solar. We don't want any more nuclear power plants in Florida, but we want things to be done the right way. Solar panels belong on rooftops, on the south side of buildings, on top of parking garages, anywhere but clear-cutting land for the use of these solar panels. That's just illogical for us. This university is supposed to be teaching us about what it is to be living sustainably in our community. This isn't a very good example to put forth to the incoming students and also the community in general.
Another one of the main issues with the solar panel fiasco was there were actually a threatened species of snake on the property where they decided to cut down all the trees, the indigo snake. It also happened to be one of the last remaining pine uplands on campus, one of the drier areas on campus. So basically now the whole campus is all wetlands and there aren't areas for animals to go that need the drier land. They also had to cut down 19 acres of trees in this area. And the university is claiming that they're trying to reduce their carbon footprint, but there have been a lot of questions raised about how cutting down those trees would actually have sequestered more carbon than maybe the solar panels are helping us to reduce through our use of coal. So there are a lot of environmental issues that, that have been related to it, and there's also the issue of the Florida panther and other large mammals that come on campus occasionally. Their land is being fragmented and they're not able to survive anymore because they need large tracts of land that are continuous in order to survive.
Give me the spirit of living things as they return to play. the darkness and the cold. Some may seek a way to gain control when it's body and soul. I know the lives are at stake, yours and mine, and our descendants in time. So much to win, so much to
from singer-songwriter Holly Near. The name of that special song was Power. That classic ballad has been a sort of anthem of the safe, clean, alternative energy movement that has encouraged me for nearly 40 years of defending Mother Earth. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yacht Kadishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast focuses on climate change and energy justice. In the studio are three fine young women, Mandy Hancock, Angela Cisneros, and Amanda Adams. We all share the same energy and environmental concerns for the future well-being of all life on Mother Earth. Mandy is a Florida organizer with the Southern Energy Network's Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. She works to motivate college students to become involved with climate change energy issues. Angela Cisneros is a Florida Gulf Coast University student and community activist. She is president of FGCU's Progressive Student Alliance and a board member of a Southwest Florida group, the Environment and Peace Education Committee, EPEC. Amanda Adams is a Florida Gulf Coast University student majoring in environmental studies. She is also interested in agriculture and food sustainability issues, coordinating the Backyards Farmers Project. The next important subject I want to focus on is nuclear power and the behavior of large electric utilities and their relationships with government agencies. I should mention that Yad Kadishi Native Center has for many years been a part of the anti-nuclear movement, fighting mining companies, electric utilities, and challenging government agencies that have various regulatory responsibilities. These are subjects for a later time. To learn more about anti-nuclear issues, I encourage people to listen to our Wolf Mountain Radio's four-program interview series with Nuclear Information and Resource Service 20-year staffer, my friend Mary Olson. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Agency, NRC, is the federal agency that has regulatory authority over the nuclear industry. The state of Florida's agency, the PSC, Public Service Commission, exercises regulatory authority over utilities in Florida in the following areas: monitoring of safety, reliability, and service, market oversight, and economic regulation, rate-based pricing. The two major nuclear utilities in Florida are Florida Power and Light and Progress Energy. Recently, there has been a political scandal involving the Public Service Commission, Florida Power and Light, and Progress Energy. I'm going to ask Mandy Hancock to talk about this news because this case exemplifies the dog and pony show circus act that goes on between government and power companies.
Well, the situation in Florida right now is basically that there are 4 nuclear reactors proposed in the state. There are 2 proposed at an existing nuclear reactor site at Turkey Point, just south of Miami in Florida City. There are 2 others that are located in what is called a greenfield or virgin site in Levy County that has never been developed in any way. There are multiple concerns with these proposals, obviously, with the water, the amount of water that they consume, the expense that will detract from us really going to true, safe, renewable, just energy practices, as well as obviously the radioactive waste and the danger that these things pose upon us. One of the things that stands out right now in Florida is that the way that the utilities are financing their risky nuclear projects is through something called early cost recovery, otherwise known as construction work in progress, and a number of other little phrases they use in different states. The Public Service Commission right now is basically deciding on whether or not they're going to allow Progress Energy and Florida Power and Light to increase their rates to subsidize these projects. Basically, if they're able to do so, they are taxing their ratepayers for something that their shareholders or their investors, since they are investor-owned utilities, should be paying for without giving them any shareholder rights. So it's really important that we talk to the Public Service Commission and urge them to read the testimony of former Nuclear Regulatory Commissioner Peter Bradford and nuclear expert slash quote-unquote whistleblower on the nuclear industry Arnie Guthenson, who both submitted very powerful testimony to the Public Service Commission to say that not only does Florida not need this power and it is not prudent at all to charge customers for this power, but it is probably the least favorable way to go as far as where Florida should go with its energy future. For Florida City in particular, I just wanted to point out that this city is inundated with high-risk energy choices. They have multiple incinerators. They have 5 nuclear reactors within the Turkey Point reactors and the Port St. Lucie reactors, and they are literally just inundated with toxic waste. And just bringing 2 additional nuclear reactors to a place that's already piling up with radioactive waste that they have nothing to do with in a long-term sense, or even any kind of a feasible thing to do with it in the short-term sense. Storing radioactive waste on the coast of Florida in a briny environment in concrete casks doesn't really make sense. And right now, that's their long-term plan. And so they already have tons and tons of this waste, and now they want to build 2 other reactors. It's going to produce even more tons and tons of this waste. And I really don't think that this area can really handle any more toxic waste being dumped upon them. So not only is it a concern for all ratepayers, everybody, because our money, it's a big deal for everybody. If you can't reach them anyway, money's the way. Water, obviously, we all need it. We can't live without it. Radioactive waste, we can't live with it. So it's really a bad decision from top to bottom, from side to side. And it's a serious environmental justice issue. And the people in this community, particularly in Florida City, aren't really empowered to take the control that they need to take their city back and clean it up.
Mandy, as you were just speaking, several things came to my mind. First, when commercial nuclear energy began, the power industry had a public relations slogan that nuclear power would be too cheap to meter. That's certainly been a joke. The second thought was about the scandal between the Florida Public Service Commission and the 2 nuclear utility companies, Florida Power and Light and Progress Energy, that were in violation of Florida's open government law. State Statute Chapter 119.1, commonly known as the Sunshine Law, the general state policy on public records, is supposed to ensure accountability and transparency of government agencies. The law states, quote, "It is the policy of this state that all state, county, and municipal records are open for personal inspection and copying by any person. Providing access to public records is a duty of each agency," unquote. There is policy that state officials should not communicate government information outside of proper public venue. According to news reports, there were emails and telephone conversations between several PSC commissioners and utility executives that were unauthorized in secret, violating the state sunshine law. Mandy, do you have any further comments about this?
Florida Power and Light has been under a lot of scrutiny lately, particularly around the salaries of their employees and how they're getting paid and if they can justify a rate increase while paying their top executives hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in bonuses and packages. And if that weren't enough, and if Florida Power and Light not wanting to disclose that information were not enough, on top of that, the Public Service Commission has been found to be fraternizing with Florida Power and Light utilities, even in the wake of important decisions that must be made by the Public Service Commission. This creates a huge conflict of interest because the Public Service Commission is a regulatory body that is supposed to be in place to protect the consumers, and they're rubbing elbows and getting buddy-buddy and giving out BlackBerry messenger codes to Florida Power and Light executives and going over to their houses for football parties and things like that. So there actually has been a call by Representative Mike Fasano to investigate the entire Public Service Commission before they are able to move forward at all on any of these rate increase requests until it is fully fleshed out exactly how deep the Public Service Commission is in bed with Florida Power and Light, which is a really good question.
Gave us this myth that how the market will self-regulate, but elite business schemes would still just be dreams without the arms of the state. If you wanna know what they mean when they say we're gonna open up your markets for our free trade, just ask the ghosts of all those who've been killed for refusing to bow down before the dollar bill. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will. Cargill, Monsanto, Merck, or Union Carbide, they go by so many names, but for the land and the people destroyed by their greed, the story is always the same. McDonald's requires McDonnell Douglas, United Fruit needed U.S. Marines, the freedom of their market supported by fascist regimes. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will.
Investors also were worried about the strength of the economy and corporate America's accounting practices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 128.13 at 95.
The rhetoric is so thick as they tell us we're free, and we've got to cut right through their lies. It's not freedom to choose our own destinies, It's freedom to choose our demise. You can die for their money, you can die by their guns. They'll let you choose your own fate. If you get in the way of their profit, you can be sure you'll be burned at the stake. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will. We don't need no great hand coming down from the sky, or your soldiers in olive drab marching on by. To discipline, regulate, liberalize, legislate, we decline. Without you we were just doing fine. The invisible hand of the market is only one of two, wielded by the corporate elite and dressed in red, white, and blue. In one fist an M16 rifle, in the other one $1,000 bill. If the right fist doesn't get you, then the other one surely will.
Stocks took a fall, reacting to their sector's downbeat corporate news. Investors also were worried about the strength of the economy and corporate America's accounting practices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 128.14 to 95.17.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The music you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification was from singer-songwriter and youth activist Ethan Miller off his 2002 Jed CD. The name of that tune was Invisible Hand of the Market. That song speaks about the great political and financial power huge corporations have in our society, especially when big business works in partnerships with government. Energy companies such as the FPL Group is a good example. Florida Power and Light boasts on its website that it is one of the largest electric utilities in the nation. Florida Power and Light has a great public relations department. Their newspaper, TV, and radio campaigns make it appear that they are a good neighbor company who only cares about people. If you look behind their public relations deception ads, you will see that FPL has often lied about their numerous violations of health, safety, environment, financial, and labor laws. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen next week for part two of Climate Change, Energy Justice, a conversation with three youth activists. I again want to thank Mandy Hancock, Angela Cisneros, and Amanda Adams for sharing their views with us on Wolf Mountain Radio. Yadkidishi Native Center urges people to get involved in climate, energy, and environmental justice issues. There are many good campaigns and organizations like Energy Action, Coalitions, PowerShift. Please visit their website, www.powershift09.org. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a song by the Dene Todi Nish Z Singers off their Canyon Records CD entitled Dancers of Mother Earth. The song we shall hear is the title track, Dancers of Mother Earth. In many Native societies, dances are done as a way of expressing our appreciation and reverence for Mother Earth. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, 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 oh, oh, oh.